Praise the Lord. We're going to look to the Word of God. I'm excited to preach the Word of God today because today I don't have to do all the preaching. Somebody did some preaching for me, and I felt such a stir in the Word of the Lord when this lady preached in our church a couple of months ago that I was waiting for opportunity to share the Word of the Lord that came to us on a Tuesday night, and it was Pastor Ann Ruagamba. Why don't you stand, Pastor Ann, so we can recognize you? Pastor Ann is a preacher and pastor in her own right. She's from Rwanda originally. Her family and her are in the church. And a couple months ago on a Tuesday night, if you remember, she shared from her latest trip to Kigali, Rwanda, and some of her ministry there. But also at the end of the time where she shared, she brought us to Mark chapter 10, the story of blind Bartimaeus. And when she was ministering the Word of God, I was receiving such inspiration from that passage that for the next 3 days, all I did was immerse my life into Mark chapter 10 because it was so powerful. I felt such a prophetic inspiration of the Lord. And so today, Pastor Ann and I are going to preach together. So whatever is great in this message, thank Pastor Ann. The other areas, you know, I'll take responsibility. But wow, what a word of the Lord she brought to us. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. It's a well-known story, but let your eyes look at the words in fresh manner today. And they came to Jericho, and as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him. New King James says, many warned him that he should be quiet, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, the master is calling you." Be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. Rise, the master is calling you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What will you that I should do unto you?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Go your way. And he followed Jesus in the way. Now verse 49 again, those last few phrases. They called Bartimaeus, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, the master is calling you." And I trust this morning that we hear the master calling us. Jesus is calling every one of us. Perhaps there are some here who feel like beggars by the roadside. It doesn't matter what has happened to you. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've come from. Jesus Christ is calling you. And the first thing we need to hear from the Lord are his words of comfort. Be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. The master is calling you. We need the comfort of the Lord on our lives first and foremost, because there's not a person here that has not been wounded or hurt or despised in some way. There's not a person here who has not been rejected by people, dejected, pushed away. Can you imagine blind Bartimaeus? How many times did he have heard voices telling him to get off the road, get out of my way, go sit by the roadside? You're too slow, you're too clumsy, you're in my way, get out of my way. And he was pushed off to the roadside. What do years of dejection, what do years of struggle, what do years of rejection do to a person? The Lord understands the human toil. He understands the toll of this life upon all of us. The disappointments that we face, like Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside, begging, trying to eke out an existence, somehow to make it through this life. And the first words they said to him were, "Be of good comfort. Be of good comfort." The Lord wants to comfort his people. He wants to bless us. He wants to speak a word of kindness. Life can be harsh. People can be hard. Circumstances can be cruel at times. Life isn't easy, but there's one who is speaking comfort to his people. Isaiah 40 in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. He says, comfort ye my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The doubling of the parchment, which had the list of our sins, has been closed and folded over, so they're no longer in view. We've received of the Lord's hand pardon for our sins. Our iniquity is accomplished. The spiritual warfare of Satan against our lives is over in Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, comfort my people. Speak comfortably to them. In John 14, 16 to 18, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go back to my Father. Because while I'm here, I can only be in one place at one time. But there's one coming, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to minister the life of God to every person all over the world whose heart is open to the Lord. He said, I'll pray the Father, he will give you another Comforter. Jesus was identifying himself as a Comforter. A Comforter of his people. But he said there's another Comforter. He's going to be a helper. He's going to be a Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit is the one who ministers the comfort of God to our hearts and lives. And we must receive the comfort of the Lord. Times of stress and difficulty, there is a kindness and a gracious spirit that the Lord wants to put into our lives. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you feel the comfort of Christ, don't you? There's something about the way he talked to people, his healing touch, his words, his ministry. When you read the Gospels, you feel the kindness of the Lord. He's comforting us. He's building us up. We can't read those Gospels without being stirred in our spirit because that comfort of the Lord is there. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, who comforts us in all our struggles and trials, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." It's good to be comforted by the Lord. It's good to be comforted by the Holy Spirit. It goes far beyond what people can say to us and how they can touch us with their words. There is a comfort of God. And where Bartimaeus sat by the wayside begging, those first words, "Be of good comfort. The Master is calling you. The Master is calling you." Now Bartimaeus couldn't see, but he could hear. He heard the news traveling up and down the Jericho road, Jericho to Jerusalem. 40 kilometers up through the hills and valleys was Jerusalem, and this was a busy route, Jerusalem to Jericho. News and travelers and all kinds of chatter that would take place along that road day after day. And he heard the words of how there was one called Jesus of Nazareth. Seems that Bartimaeus knew the scriptures, a person of faith, but he heard of one called Jesus of Nazareth, that he was in the land and he was preaching the gospel to the poor. People were being saved. People were receiving forgiveness of sins. That this Jesus taught that a person could be born again, that you could have a fresh start and a new start in life. that this Jesus would heal the sick and touch their bodies and make them whole. That this Jesus, some say he is Messiah, some say he's the Son of David, the ultimate Son of David who would come and rule over the kingdom of God forever. That this is David's son, this is the Lord. And one day there was a crowd that pushed through Jericho. And it was Jesus and his disciples and hundreds of people that would throng him, and they were making their way up to Jerusalem. It would be Jesus' final travel on that old Jericho road up to Jerusalem, because he was going in a few days to be offered as the Lamb of God. He would give his life for the sins of the world. Up there on Calvary's Hill, on Skull Hill, his life would be taken, and he would pour out his blood that the world could be saved, and those who would believe into him would be reconciled and come to faith in God and live forever in the eternal presence of the Lord. And there was this hustle and bustle along the road, and it was known that it was Jesus and his disciples that were coming along. And all of a sudden, as Bartimaeus knew that, he began to cry out by the wayside, "Jesus, thou Son of David, you're the King, you're the promised one, you're the true Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Many, it says, charged him to be quiet. They warned him, "Stay silent, keep your peace, stay over on the side of the road." My, what would have happened that day if Bartimaeus hadn't cried out to the living God? What would have happened to him if he had let the crowd silence him? If he had let people beat him down and beat him back? Stay in your place. See, there is a spirit, there is a charge that wants to keep us silent. There's a voice that wants to keep the people of God silent, keep us from crying out, keep us from calling out on the Lord. Because the Lord responds to the cry of his people. The Bible says, "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, every beggar, every dejected person, every lonely person, it doesn't matter who they are in this world, if they will call on the name of the Lord, there's a miracle in your mouth. See, the enemy wants to keep us silent. The enemy has suffocated the church by and large in many places. And when people of this world think of the church, they think of a quiet little place of repose. Not too much noise, people just file in silently and stand so reverently in the presence of God. And there is a place for that reverence. There is a place for quiet reflection. But the house of the Lord should be a place where voices are lifted, and we're calling out to the Son of David, and we're praising the Lord, and we're shouting and glorifying God with all our heart. Sometimes we're afraid of our own voice, aren't we? There's not a person that doesn't have to get over that. I remember when I had to get over that in my life as a young, late teenager. I had to get over the sound of my voice and what I would sound like to my friends around me and how my praises would sound as I began to pour them out to the Lord. But you know, we have to break that. We have to cross that faith line, because that's where the victory is. That's where the deliverance is. That's where the answer of the Lord is. Says Bartimaeus began to cry out even more. He began to cry out even more unto the Lord. They couldn't silence him. They couldn't hold him back. And then we have those beautiful words in Scripture. So Jesus stood still. So Jesus stood still. There is Jesus with his disciples, huge crowd around him, hundreds of people. I mean, Jesus had a fairly large church that morning. He had a good gathering. Jesus has a lot of friends. Jesus has a lot of people that want to receive from him. But it's so beautiful that when Jesus hears the cry of one person, he will stop the entire crowd. He'll stop whatever he's doing if he hears the cry of a sincere person. Jesus stopped for one person, and that person is you. That person is me. He hears our cry above the din of the crowd. He hears our cry above the chatter on the roadside, all the hustle and bustle. He hears the cry of the sincere heart of those who want him and want his presence and want his life. He stops the procession. Be of good comfort. Rise, the master is calling you. And Bartimaeus, it says, flung his beggar's robe from him. He cast it to the ground. He didn't take his beggar's robe and set it gently on the ground so that he could pick it up after the meeting, so that he could pick it up at a later day if he got discouraged again. He said, the master is calling me, and my life will never be the same. From this moment on, my life is changed. The master is calling me. Listen, if you will call on the Lord, you will hear the Lord calling you. If you will call on the Lord, there will come a point where you hear the Lord calling you. And when you hear the Lord calling you, you step forever into a new day. You step out of your beggar's robes. You step out of your dejection and rejection, because the purpose of God comes on your life and a brand new day is yours. I'm sure he rushed to Jesus, didn't he? He rushed to the Lord to receive from the Lord. And then those words Jesus said, astounding words. What do you want me to do for you? I mean, that's his question to every one of us. What do you want Jesus to do for you? We were those beggars along the road. We cried out to the Lord. We felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We felt the acceptance of the Lord. He brought us to himself, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, Bartimaeus didn't give some deep answer, some deep spiritual answer of some call and purpose and some destiny on his life. You know what was most pertinent to him at that point? I need to be able to see. I need a touch in my physical body. I need the Lord to touch my ailment. I need the Lord to touch my body so I can rise out of where I am and walk properly and purposefully and powerfully with him. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight. When you call on the Lord and you hear the call, the Lord calling you, you will stand in the place where he says, what do you want me to do for you? What a tender place with the Lord. What are you going to answer? What are you going to say? Lord, here is what I want. This is what I need. According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, Jesus didn't always say, according to your faith, you're made whole, you're healed. Quite a number of times in the Gospels, he told people that, according to your faith, be it unto you. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. He didn't always say that, because sometimes he simply, if we can use that word, brought a gift of healing to people, working of miracles. By his grace, by his generous distribution, he healed and touched. Sometimes he healed all that were present in a place that needed healing. But there are times where he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And it shows us the response that is required out of our heart, that we must have a believing spirit, that we must believe in the presence of Jesus, that we must have zeal for the Lord, for his word, for his promises, for his life, for his future in us. According to your faith, be it unto you. And he received his sight and received the answer and the touch of the Lord for his life. And Jesus said to him these words, and I thought it was so beautiful as Pastor Ann shared this point, that Jesus said to him, go your way. Go your way. And Pastor Ann just emphasized how each of us have a way that we must walk. We walk individually before the Lord in the corporate body, in the body of Christ. We still have a particular call and function and ministry and destiny. Jesus said to him, go your way, develop your calling, develop what I want you to be and what I want you to do and how I want you to influence the earth. Go your way. But the verse also says, so he followed Jesus in the way. What a beautiful blend. That while we're walking our own way, we have to carve out our own ministry. We have to develop our spiritual gifting, our calling, whatever it is in the body of Christ. So many members, so many functions, and all necessary. We have to go our own way. But as we're going our own way, we're also walking in the way of the Lord. We're walking with His church. We're walking with the people of God in harmony with the Lord and His people, and in harmony with the will of God on our lives. According to your faith, be it unto you. Again, what if Bartimaeus hadn't called? What if he'd let people put him down, push him away? And perhaps there are some here this morning that people are keeping you from the will of God for your life. Their voices, their criticism, their charges against you, whatever it is. But the Lord is encouraging you today. Begin to open your mouth and call on the name of the Lord. Don't let anyone silence you. Come into the house of the Lord with your hands raised and your voice lifted to the Lord and your heart on fire for the Lord. And even when you feel discouraged, cry out to the Lord even more. Because as you call on the Lord, you will hear the Lord calling you. And you will walk out into a new day and a new purpose. And you will leave your beggar's clothes. You will leave the disappointment of the past far behind. It'll just be a memory on the old Jericho road. But you'll be walking the highway of the Lord's holiness and the highway of His purpose for your life. Want to say a word about the church or the churches? Sometimes the church can feel like it's on the roadside, right next to the ditch. Because this world says, church, get off the road. Get out of our way. Go sit on the wayside. We want the main road. We want the best places on the streets of the city. We want the best places in the culture. We want to be known. Churches, go into the back alleys. Go into the side streets. And the enemy pressure is to push the church into the ditches. But I want to say to you this morning that if the church will call on the Lord will hear the church calling, and He will respond to her. And she'll cast off the forsaken allotment that she's had, and she'll cast off some of that reproach that she's borne. Forsaken, an outcast. Not desired. But if the church will call on the Lord, something is going to take place, and that church is going to rise in the purpose and power of God. And that is my prayer for this church and for this nation and for the churches of the world, that they would rise like Bartimaeus and begin to call on the name of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 1, for Zion's sake. Zion's sake, that's the church, that's the people of God in New Testament terms. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp on fire, a torch on fire. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, I will not rest. Isaiah 62, 6 to 7, I have set watchmen upon your walls. The watchmen are the intercessors, the people of God that have a heart for the city of God to be great, to be protected, to be strong. I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, O church, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, or you that are the Lord's reminders, you that put the Lord in remembrance of His promises, keep not silence. Give Him no rest till He establish and till He make Jerusalem, the church, a praise in the earth. Hallelujah. Until the church is glorious. It doesn't matter how many numbers are in the church, but that church is radiant. It's glorious. It's on fire. It's strong. It's filled with the power and life of God. God says, I want you to call on me. Until I create, until I make my church a praise in the earth. And so that is our heart to, again, bring the excellence to the house of the Lord. All of us together seeking the Lord. And the church needs intercessors. The church needs people who will call on the Lord so that the Lord will fulfill his ministry and fulfill his vision and make the church a praise in the earth. Hallelujah. This morning I want to close out with a twofold call. First, it's to the individual. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need the comfort of the Lord. As you've sat under this ministry of Mark chapter 10, perhaps in your heart, I'm going to invite you to stand at this time. The Holy Spirit's talking to you. And you know this word is going beyond a general sense into your heart. How many here this morning need some comfort of the Lord? If that's you, raise your hand. You need a touch from the Lord. You need the comfort of God. Somehow you've been pushed away in life and rejected and cast off. And you struggled with that, but the Lord today is offering you a new day. This is a word that can go deep into our hearts and change our lives forever. If we can hear this story of blind Bartimaeus, it will change our life forever. And today, you're responding like Bartimaeus. You're calling on the Lord. You want to give yourself to a new day in God. This message is for you. And secondly, it's for the church. We thank God for what he's done here and for the intercessors and prayer warriors. Prayer room is wonderful. Sunday morning, Sunday evening before services, Tuesday night is amazing. Sometimes 250 to 300 people are here praying, walking the aisles, lifting hands, calling on God. And if you're part of this church family and you've never come to a Tuesday night Christ City prayer night, we're asking you. We need you. The Lord has need of you. Come and begin to offer yourself into the prayers of the church that the Lord can build his kingdom and make it strong in the earth. Because as we call on the Lord, we will hear the Lord calling us. And at that moment, we step into the future, fulfillment and ministry, and a walk with God. This morning, as we close out, the altars are open. Those of you who raised your hands and you would like a touch from the Lord this morning, you say, today, I'm coming off the wayside, coming off the roadside. I'm coming to Jesus. I sense his comfort. I hear his words. I want to give myself to him. I'm going to cast off the old disposition. I'm going to cast off the old mentality. Maybe some of you have to cast off some old sins and say, today, I'm coming to Jesus in a fresh way. I want to hear his voice say, go your way, and I will follow him in the way. If that's you, slip out from where you are, or if there are other needs for prayer this morning, the altars are open. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord as we close out today. Lift our hands to the Lord. Those who would like prayer, please come to the altars. People will be here to minister the comfort of God to you and the healing presence of Jesus Christ. But all of us together, let's offer ourselves to the Lord in great surrender of worship and love and desire toward him.